pick number four. That one's all right with this one.
That one needs to start again.
Yeah. Oh well. I wonder what they get from some people, you know. Sorry.
Must be fun.
Yeah.
That will run all to dick
out. That's right. I do find I'm conscious of it a lot of the time. Other people probably can forget about it because I'm wearing it. I feel conscious of it a lot of the time. Yeah. What I'll do when I'm... If all the ifs, ands and buts are covered, I will put the mic on its stand when I'm working tomorrow. Mm. Put it on the desk and put the recorder in my briefcase underneath the little desk. Because there's a little coffee table sort of thing that I put my script on. And I can put my briefcase underneath it.
You'll have to take...
And the microphone on top.
Having read it again and realised what you're supposed to do, you'll have to take some spare tapes and some spare batteries, won't you?
Yeah. But that's just one... I mean, I'm not going to record... If I try and record the whole of the course...
You can't.
I can't.
For security reasons.
That's right. But...
Because, okay, yeah, stuff remains anonymous.
Mm.
But you're giving people how to defraud the benefit.
Yeah. And I can't do that.
Service, and you can't do that.
No. But a lot of the sessions, when you're talking about data types and things like that... Oh, I don't know. There's the security aspects to that, you see.
Yeah, but then if it's so obscure that nobody apart from someone working in the office would understand it, does it matter?
The only way it would matter is that somebody can use the information to, if they could get hold of a card and get into an office, they could actually use the information to make a payment.
If they knew how?
If they knew how.
Mm. Yeah, but be honest, from what you said, would they pick up how? Without having a computer in front of them and being able to look at it and do what you're saying.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll have to blanket out when I'm talking about passwords and things as well.
Yeah.
Because there are passwords that protect the system.
Yeah.
But apart from that, you're right.
Yeah, it's like ours. We've got passwords.
Mm. And then everyone's got their own. I've got my own personal one as well.
We've got our own personal one for our HP desk.
Mm. Mine's more boring than that.
Is it?
It's my PIN number.
Oh.
I use my bank PIN number. That way I don't forget it.
Oh, I see, that's how you remember your... Oh, the other day I went up to Asda and I put my card in the machine and my mind just went totally blank. Do you think I could remember the damn number? I stood there and in the end I keyed in a number which was one digit wrong.
Mm.
And I thought, it came out, incorrect PIN number, please remove your card. I thought, oh, at least I'm getting it back.
Yeah.
So I whipped it out. I said to Mum, I'm going to have to pay for this with a cheque. I said, I can't get the cash out of the machine. She goes, why? I said, I've forgotten my number. I was getting in quite a panic because I knew I didn't have it written down anywhere at home.
Mm. Do you know what it is now?
Yeah.
That's right.
I remembered it while I was walking around the shop.
Because I know yours.
The more I thought about it, the worse I got while I was stood by the machine.
Yeah.
So I took my card and went in. I thought, well, I'll pay for this by check.
Yeah.
But I wanted some cash. So what I did in the end was walked around Asda, remembered it, or thought I remembered it, came back out, put the card back in, and the terminal came up. It's okay.
I'm nervous now. I'm going to be checking that quite a bit.
Yeah, the terminal came up. Due to an error, we're unable to complete your transaction. So I thought, oh, great, so I can't have my money in any way. Then I felt a real twig. So mine came up and I said, I think something's gone wrong with the autobank machine. I said, it won't give me any money because it's coming up. There's an error. So he said, well, I'll try and see. So he put in exactly the same card as me. He had the Midland card. Put it in, got his money. So I thought, right, I'm not going to be beaten. So I went back in again, put the card back in. He gave me the money that time.
Mm.
But it wasn't saying I'd made an error.
No.
It was saying due to an error.
There's probably some disruption to the transmission or something for an instant.
Yeah.
Because it only needs.
I felt such a twit. I said to this man, I don't know. I couldn't get my money.
It only needs for a little bit of tension on the wire or something, to just make it shut out just for a split second.
Yeah.
And it will throw the whole thing.
But that was not a good day.
No.
Oh, no, I put a 6 where a 5 should be in my PIN number. That was all I did. But I stood there and my mind just completely went blank. I couldn't remember it at all. Mm. And I'd already pushed the card in.
Yeah.
So I had to key in something.
Mm. Oh, I turned around, I can't remember what it was. What was it all about? I was doing a training session. And I said, I'd started to say something and I'd done it. I was talking about something and I hadn't done the bit before.
Mm.
So they couldn't understand what I was saying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I said,
do you want to know a bit too?
Forget all about that. Just let your mind go blank. And I looked around and I said, cool, that was quick. Because they were all looking pretty blank anyway, you know. Well, I don't think information about the seven, what are the seven conditions of receipt of benefit and things like this would be a state secret, really.
No, I'd employ dirty Scotty. Living in a caravan with a big dog. Sorry.
Big, hairy and stroppy, you'd get wherever you like.
Yeah. Big, hairy, stroppy, dirty. You get whatever you like.
Not quite true, but
go on. Doesn't it make you sort of biased when you actually work for the system? And you see the nice people coming in and not getting really what's due to them. See somebody come in and threaten to punch somebody's lights out and they get all that.
Yeah.
You know?
But then, to my mind, the person who threatens to punch the lights out and gets whatever they want, everyone should get that degree of service.
Yeah, but they don't. And unfortunately, it's the nice people that suffer.
But it's up to the every individual to try and make sure that they do get that level of service.
So what you, yeah, but you, if to get that level of service, you've got to threaten somebody.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have to threaten somebody to get good service.
No, but you do have to.
You shouldn't.
No, but you do. In the
depends on the people. Mm. Depends on the actual person you see and what their attitude is.
Yeah.
And I must admit, once I'd been, early on, when I didn't know an awful lot, then, yeah, but later on when I had a bit more experience, there was very little difference between the way I treated people, whether they made a fuss or not.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's the way it should be. Mm. But you're in the minority in actually doing that and saying that. And that's wrong. Mm.
Yeah, and I'm trying to do something about it.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, the thing is, you train people to do it properly.
Yeah.
They then go back to their office. Now, unfortunately, a lot of what other people in the office are doing, you observe.
Yeah.
And that, I think, really has more of an influence, because they're not going to turn themselves into an individual by doing something different to everyone else.
Yeah, I see what you mean. They're not in a situation where they can take an individual line at that point.
No.
It's only later on, when they're more experienced, that they can actually say, well, no, hang on a minute. I can do more for this person.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do more for this person.
I think
person.
That's the only thing where if I worked in a benefit office, I wouldn't get on very well, because if I saw somebody nice, I'd try and move heaven and earth to make everything
that,
go right for
and
them.
And that would make you good.
Yeah, but in the beginning, I'd get criticised for not being quick enough.
I don't know.
Because I'd chase people round until I found out what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The sort of things I'm talking about, I'm thinking of is, okay, somebody, a mistake's been made and somebody hasn't got their payment out.
Yeah.
Right? And the difference between that is, and then, the degree of service that they get, you can say, you'll get it in the post 2 days, in 2 days. Or you can say, we'll get a gyro check written out for you and issue it to you over the counter at 3:30. Or you can say, if you'd like to wait for 30 minutes, we'll get a gyro check to issue to you. Or if you'd rather, you can come back at 3:30 and collect it.
But unfortunately, the majority of people say you'll get one in a couple of days. Mm. Then the person will start to argue because they need their money now to go and buy their shopping.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And that's what I was saying about degrees of service.
Yeah.
I mean, in that situation, I would try and say sort of,
I mean, I
do
know.
Do you need the money urgently?
Mm. And they're always going to say yes, aren't they? Unless they're a reasonable human being who has got a bit of money they can use.
Yeah. Any.
But I must admit, I am a bit snobbish in that I would move heaven and earth to help someone who looked clean and nice and had good manners.
Hmm.
If it was someone coming in with a nasty attitude, really filthy, scruffy, dirty, no fixed address because they lived in an old wagon somewhere, I think I'd be less inclined.
Yeah.
But having said that, I'd still give them.
I mean, the thing is, it's dealing with the awkward people.
Yeah. Yes, please.
That distinguishes a professional from somebody who.
Oh yeah, I'd give them the same options, but with someone who's nice, put it that way, I'd almost definitely try. I'd get the say that they could have their gyro today, straight away.
with someone who's not, I'd try and get them to wait for the couple of days, and then if they wouldn't, I'd go through the system and get them it today. Do you see the difference? It wouldn't be, I wouldn't say, oh no, you can't have it. But I'd say, well, you'll receive it in a couple of days' time. And if they said, oh well, that's not good enough, then fair enough, you know? But somebody who's nice, I'd think, no, why should they have to wait? Because, but these people that are camped in, they've opted out of society. They want nothing to do with society apart from the gyro check on payday.
Yeah, well they don't.
They want.
You don't have problems with their payments.
No, it's the people that think the world owes them a living, but they don't want to give anything back, and that really bugs me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mhm. Yeah. I must admit, I agree with what you're saying. Whether we classify those people as being of no fixed abode. They're not necessarily of no fixed abode. There are a lot of people who are living in flats and council houses and things like that that have got that attitude.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the people who are no fixed abode actually are trying very hard to get work.
No, by no fixed abode, I didn't mean... I did say in a caravan. It's the people.
Yeah, but even some of those. Only thing is, they tend to get work and they tend not to tell you they've done it.
No, it's the ones that have opted out and they don't try to get work and they don't want work.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I'd be. Because it's obvious, I mean, if they've done no work in the past sort of 12 months or nearly 12 months, then they're not trying, because whatever people say, the work's there. You've only got to go to the job centre and see all the jobs.
Mummy?
I mean...
Yeah.
Yes, that's not bad.
Right, Mum?
Yes?
Do you know with this model you said about those paints and everything? I've got to get it done by this Friday.
This Friday. Alright, I'll try and sort something out tomorrow.
Okay.
Neil, I haven't got time today. If we can do the car in that today, that's as much as we'll get done, really.
It is a bit more complicated than that, in that some people would like to work, but the level, the amount of money they need coming in is not in line with the amount they can realistically expect to earn. And that's a difficult situation.
Yeah, but then they've got to adjust their lifestyle.
You can't adjust your lifestyle by killing a couple of kids. That's
only
problem. If you've got a large family and you've had a well-paid job and then you lose it.
Yeah.
And you're not likely to be able to get into that line of work again. It can be quite difficult. But there are... What there wasn't before, but there is now, is these.
But then, as I say, if you've got a, if you can get a job, and is it just lifestyle adjusting?
Well, no, because what you can do now is you can go to somebody who will sit down with a mini computer, and that's what you need, a mini computer, and we'll sit down and we'll look at a job and we'll say, right, if you take this job, you can also claim family credit of so much, and they actually do a sort of alternative benefit calculation. And what they do is they look at, if you take this job and taking all the other things into account, will you be better off? And they'll actually sit down and work that out for people and encourage them to go for a job and give them all the forms they need to claim family credit or whatever.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If the system works properly, there's no way.
But sometimes people fall through the cracks. And if you can actually have somebody who's interested in going for a job, and when you do that sort of calculation, they end up, they're going to be worse off.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be allowed to happen, but it does.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't mesh.
Yeah.
The whole,
so what
there
happens
are holes
then
in it.
They say, I'm not even going for that interview then, because I can't live on it, even with all the other benefits. What happens then?
Right.
See, this is it. They get punished then, don't they, for not trying.
as I understand it, the calculations for in-work benefit are done by somebody who's separate from the normal benefit section. And I don't think they will pass on information about somebody actually refusing to take a job.
Because of the pay.
Because of the pay. But the system ought to be watertight so that people are better off. But the trouble is it's so complicated there are always exceptions and problems that cause...
Yeah, but I mean, be honest, you say that, but people have got to be prepared to adjust as well.
Oh yeah.
Because you say someone with a large family and they need a lot of money. You see someone with a large family.
Yeah.
Social security benefit or something like that. And they're not given a large amount of money.
No.
And there's somebody else saying, oh, I need £500 a month more than that to live. And you think, well, hang on.
Well.
You know, if these two people with the same number of kids can live for this, why should this person need £500 a month more?
What you've got to take into account is that there's an awful lot of things that you get when you're unemployed that stop when you find a job.
Oh yeah, because I mean, I know they pay mortgage for you. Well, not mortgage, but interest on mortgage.
Interest on mortgage, yeah.
So you've suddenly got to start paying your mortgage again.
Also, if you're in rented accommodation, you're claiming housing benefit, you probably haven't got to pay any rent, especially if it's council. There's relief on paying community charge, which you don't get anymore once you start working.
Well, you do.
Well, depending on your circumstances, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You'll still get people who, they don't qualify for any of these benefits.
Yeah.
Because of what they're earning. And they're still saying they're not getting enough. And those are the people who need to adjust how they're living.
Yeah.
And they don't. They've got a big car, they've got a big house.
Yeah.
You know, say to them, buy a smaller house, and you know, you'd never, never hear the end of it. I mean, it was like Deborah and Dave,
I believe,
can you remember?
I believe DSS do look at the situation.
But can you remember Deborah
before,
and Dave?
Yeah, before they'll actually suggest to somebody that they sell a house. That they sell their house and move to a smaller one. They have to be unemployed for quite some time.
Yeah. I mean, they just desperately wanted to get away from Bristol because of what happened with the accident and what have you. And they moved from that really nice house that they had.
Yeah.
And that was Deborah's mother's house. That was where Deborah was brought up and where I used to go and play with her when we were little. And of course her mum moved to Cornwall and Deborah bought the house off of her. A bit cheaper than they would have bought it on the... And they moved down to Cornwall and they bought a much smaller house. Much, much smaller. I mean, she had 3 or 4 children.
Yeah.
So she still needed... I think she bought a 3-bedroom house, which meant she had 2 girls... Two girls and a boy. She had 3 children.
Uh-huh.
No, 2 boys and a girl. So it meant that 2 boys had to share a bedroom, which they weren't doing in that other house. And David had been unemployed, look. And they did just that. They sold up, moved down to Cornwall where her mum lived, and bought a much smaller place.
Yeah. DSS don't help with the mortgage for the first, I think it's 10 weeks as well. Unemployment. You're going to help with the mortgage at all.
Yeah.
But most people are insured for that sort of period of time anyway.
Yeah. Are we?
I don't think we are.
No, because of the type of job you've got.
Yeah. I don't know, we might be.
I don't know. But it's... I don't know, it's a very difficult sort of situation where you get, there are so many things to look into and it's not being done well enough, basically.
It's very, very complicated.
It is, but it's still not being done well
enough. There's no way it should be that complicated.
No.
A lot of the problems are caused by the rules being so complicated that you have to be working in a particular field for 2 or 3 years before you really know what's going on.
Mm.
And in Avon we've got a large turnover of staff.
Yeah.
People don't stay that long.
Yeah.
So you don't get many people getting up to 2 or 3 years experience.
Yeah.
The ones that stay on that long
They're very good.
They're very good, and they tend to stay a long time.
Yeah.
But then they tend to get promoted and move on to other things.
Yeah. But I think the reason I feel a bit bitter about it is living round here, you see all the dirties and the scruffies.
Yep.
Getting away with absolutely murder, defrauding the system right, left and centre, and doing it openly in front of you.
Mm.
And you think, well, to hell with it, they should be come down on hard.
Mm.
You know, you just see them all getting away with it. And that makes me think something ought to be done. Because the people that lose out are the people who go in there very politely, fill out their claim, suffer at home, and because of all the dirties and scruffies making a fuss, they don't get attended to properly.
Mm.
And that's what makes me evil. And that's why I say I'd move heaven and earth for someone who's nice, but less so for someone who's not.
Mm.
Because you know damn well that those people, the ones that are not and are making the fuss, are probably the ones that need the money least.
Yeah.
Because somebody I can think of with a not a million miles from here is working on claiming.
Mm.
I know that. I mean, he's actually thick enough to go up there and sign on in his overalls.
Mm.
And then he says, oh, he's working on cars for the family. Ha 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 ha.
Mm.
You know, and you know damn well he's defrauding the system.
Yeah.
And he'll be the one going up there shouting. Somebody like Hillary, that needs all the help she can get, goes up there and gets little. You know, it just doesn't seem right at all.
There are the 10%, or perhaps less than 10%, who are absolute loonies.
Yeah.
But an awful lot of people who will go up and make a fuss may not get the same level of service as somebody who went up there and was nice. They might get less.
Yeah. Perhaps it's just that I know some of the loonies that go up there and get what they want every time.
Well, the thing is, you have to look at your source of information for that.
Yeah.
They might think they're getting away with it. A lot of people who I mean, being unemployed isn't... People tend to feel devalued.
Mm.
And so, if they can think, oh, they put one over on the... benefit office, then they'll go and brag down the pub about it.
Yeah.
Whereas in actual fact, if they come in very nicely and ask very nicely, they might have got more than they actually got it when they came in shouting and yelling.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then, when you come to the lunatic fringe, then supervisors will cut an awful lot of corners to prevent them busting up the office or punching somebody in the nose.
Yeah.
I don't mean people who are just stroppy. I mean the real lunatic fringe.
Yeah. Yeah. Big red L written on their claim. I know. Loony. Take care.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean there are people who are mentally subnormal.
Oh yeah.
There are people who are mentally ill for one reason or another. There are people on drugs. There are people who are alcoholics.
Yeah.
And when those people come in that state, you minimise the areas of confrontation.
So when you say to them, sorry, you don't get any money because they're not entitled to it, what happens then?
Well, there's only so much you can do anyway. Yeah.
You see, this is it. It's going to happen eventually with all these people. There's going to come a time where something's going to happen that they're not going to like.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
As long as, because they can only claim benefit for a certain length of time, can't they? And then it switches from unemployment to social security.
Income support, yeah. But income support is paid indefinitely.
Yeah.
And income support is a lot more than unemployment benefit anyway.
It is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think it was.
Yeah, unemployment benefit is only 41 quid a week.
Oh.
Or 65 if you're claiming for a wife. What good is that?
Well, you said what good is that? It's more than mum and dad's pension. It's more than dad's pension.
Ah, yeah.
And he's claimed that's for two.
I don't think you've got the rights of that. There's no way that retirement pension will be less than unemployment benefit. It's always a bit more.
Well, it works out.
And that's based on national insurance contributions.
Mm.
And Den's in receipt of a full pension.
Yeah.
Right. He's getting more than 65 quid a week.
Yeah, but it's not a lot more.
Okay. It might not be a lot more. It might be 70.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But it's always a bit more.
Mm.
Because
but it ought to be a lot more, that's the thing.
Because people who are signing on will, he could still claim income support.
He can't.
He's got too much money coming in then.
Yeah. Because he's got a private pension of £100 a month as well.
Yeah.
Because they get hardly any rent rebate now, and hardly any, poll tax, they pay £19 each.
Yeah.
Which is practically the same as we're paying.
It is the same.
Yeah. They get no relief there, no relief anywhere else. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't know how they do it. Because I do know what they've got coming in.
Mm.
I mean, they've got their old age pension, and that's private pension, and that's it. And I don't know how they live. Yet they always seem to have enough money. You know?
They get help with the rent?
About £1 odd a week. Mm. And being as their rent's £24 a week.
Yeah.
They get practically no help at all. And yet mum still manages to sort of save a bit.
Yeah.
And I think, well, where are they going short? Because they must be.
Mm. They seem to be able to manage okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll be in a totally different situation.
Yeah, but then we've got a £300 mortgage, which I haven't got. I mean, we've got different circumstances.
Yeah, but we will be in a totally different situation.
Oh, yeah, when we retire.
Because we'll end up with no mortgage. We'll get... I don't know. If I... I must admit, I rather fancy the old... being a re-employed pensioner. I don't know. That's quite a good one.
What, going down to AO?
Well, I can work till I'm 62 as an EO.
Yeah.
Or 60 as an HEO.
Would you want to?
What you could then do, which I think would probably help. Because you see, you don't get state retirement pension until you're 65.
Yeah.
But what would be a possibility at 62, when I'm... At that point, I'll be receiving half pay as a pension. So if I retired at that point and then worked part-time to keep the grey matter in order.
Yeah.
As an AO somewhere.
Yeah.
Till I reach state retirement age, we could end up with virtually full pay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd, so I'd be, if I was still working.
I'd be working part-time for full pay, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at retirement age, I would continue to receive half pay plus retirement pension, state retirement pension, mm. which meant at the equivalent of about 70 quid a week as well.
Yeah. I honestly think, though, that when... I don't know, you see, because I've been saying, oh, when I get a chance, I'll get a transfer out of my office because of the way it's run. But the way it is at the moment, with me able to use the car for work and things, you think, is it worth it? Because the car would be sat out here. If I transferred and still did 3 days, but did it where you work.
Yeah.
In the building you work in. I wouldn't be able to use my car.
No.
So, I'd have to pay bus fare. So I'd be paying, we'd be paying for our petrol, which wouldn't be a lot different to what it is now, really.
No.
A bit, £2 or £3 a week perhaps.
Mm.
And I'd be paying a lot more in bus fare.
Mm.
Plus you haven't got the convenience of being able to go and get in your car.
Yeah. Standing about waiting for buses is not fun.
No. You know?
Mm.
If I could work somewhere in an office where I could use my car, then that would be great. But you want to be able to know that you can... I don't know. I mean, I think with the place I am now, I just don't know what to make of it, really.
Yeah. I think the thing is, if once you've, it's going to sound awful, but once you've done your time and you know as much or more than your EO, you're going to be left alone to get on with the job.
What do you mean? We've always been left alone to get on with the job.
What I mean is that you're not going to have... you're not going to have interference like you've had lately. You're not going to have comments like you've had lately.
There'll always be
and,
something.
And you'll feel comfortable with what you're doing. You won't have to. You won't have to worry about the work, if you know what I mean. You'll know how to do it.
Yeah.
But once you've got that, I think you might well find that it's quite nice and comfortable to stay there.
Yeah, well, this is it.
Rather than face moving into benefit, where it is very fraught at times.
Yeah.
And in a situation, and coping with that as well as not knowing what you're doing isn't nice.
You say it's very fraught in benefit at times. I don't think you appreciate what I do.
Right. You are very busy.
No, when you get someone's relative phoning up because they've just been crushed under a lump of machinery, that is very fraught.
Yeah.
Having to deal with that person.
Mm.
Why aren't you prosecuting the company because my son has just been killed?
Yeah.
And who has to deal with it? Ta-da!
Yeah.
Not, you know, the inspector's right. Well, you can't reach them on the phone.
You never talked about that before.
Oh, no. I mean, it happens.
Hmm.
Quite a bit.
And that's on a par with the sort of problem you get in benefit.
Hmm.
If somebody comes in and, what more, I've just died, what do I do?
Yeah.
And you think, oh.
Yeah, but the thing is, with that, it's very different because it's not your fault.
Okay.
They're not coming to you and saying, my wife has been killed, why aren't you doing anything about it?
No.
They're coming to you and saying, my wife has been killed, please can you help me?
My kid,
which is different. They're coming to you asking for help.
Yeah.
Whereas they're coming to us and blaming you.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, for doing nothing, which is, you know... If the health and safety executive had done this, this, and ensured that this was right and that was right, this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
You know, that's a bit different to my wife has died, please can you help me sort things out.
Another scenario that comes up quite often is that somebody comes in and they say, my kids haven't had any food all over the weekend because you didn't send out a gyro.
Yeah.
That can get a bit.
Yeah, but 9 times out of 10, you know, they're lying as well.
Well, you wonder sometimes.
Yes, I mean.
Yeah, but.
My kids haven't had any food all weekend that I've paid for because you didn't send me my gyro. No. They've had their meals because they've been around their grandma's, but I'm not telling you that. Yeah. You know?
And I went down a pub on Saturday and drank with all the rest of my benefit.
Yeah.
But that's what you're faced with sometimes.
I mean we get it as well. It's not you sort of say, oh, my job's a cozy little job. It's not that cozy, believe me. You get put in some very awkward situations.
I didn't want to say that.
No,
I didn't want to say that because I don't think it is a cozy little job.
No.
Especially with the management support you get.
Well, we don't get any.
That's what
the
I meant.
The management is a positive hindrance, not a support.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
I mean, my immediate management, Julie, is now in a crisis. She's brilliant. You see, I don't know whether this the other day, whether she didn't go to see Paul to see what I'd say, because I'd said this, you see. And I don't know whether she was sussing me out a bit as well. Because I'd said that he'd said something to me.
Okay.
And I don't know whether she took me down to see him, to see if I'd back down.
Yeah.
And I didn't, because he said it.
Yeah.
And I think she was quite pleased with me, because she said, don't get irate, don't get upset. And I didn't.
No.
I talked him down at one point because he kept doing it to me, so I did it to him. He wouldn't let me say something, and I tried about 3 times, and in the end I just kept talking. And it was a case of who stopped her first, and he did. But I don't know anybody in there who hasn't had a really good shout at him at some point. And that's all, that's including AOs. You know? When
yeah. The one thing you have got there is that people are prepared to take him on.
Yeah, they are. Julie will.
Whereas
Joyce definitely will.
Whereas if you had a situation where people weren't prepared to take it on, it could be awful. You'd have people leaving hand over fist.
They have now.
Mm.
I mean, they've got a job to keep people. Since I've been there, they've had.
Yeah.
I think AOs, the AOs tend to stay.
Because they tend to have more gumption. They tend to have to stand up to him in the end.
But the AAs don't. They've had 1, 2... They've had one new AA stay in the 12 months I've been there. Just one. And they've had 3 leave.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's... Because he sort of says, oh, there's, that we're very good to people, you know, great flexibility and all this. And that. Oh, yeah, if you get a hospital appointment, then you have the time off. It's, that's it. They'll move heaven and earth, you know.
So what?
So what? Quite. If you have a he actually said to me, if you have a problem, I will listen and I will help you. So there's me going to him and saying, look, due to a misunderstanding, I have a problem. And there's him saying... tough.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm.
But it wasn't any misunderstanding either. He said something. And now the chips are down and I'm calling on him to do what he said. He's not prepared to.
No.
That's what it boils down to. There's no misunderstanding. It's him.
Him,
he wanted someone to work there desperately.
Yeah.
I was there. I was prepared to do it.
Yeah.
And he wanted me.
Yeah.
So he offered me the moon to get me.
Yeah.
Having got me.
Yeah. He then starts trying to try and take it back.
Yeah, and he's not going to.
No. Because he didn't exactly offer you the moon anyway.
Well, no. No.
But he was prepared to negotiate on something, which now he's saying he didn't negotiate on.
Yeah. That's right. Well, no, he's not saying he's not prepared to negotiate anymore.
Mm.
He's saying he didn't say it in the first
place. First place, yeah.
He's also saying, but now I have a more responsible job, therefore I have to be in at court time. 5 minutes after is not good enough.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? And, as I say, with my partner, I haven't mentioned it yet, this business about cover, but it annoys me that, I'm asking for cover for technically half an hour in the morning.
Yeah.
Possibly 35 minutes.
Mm.
Somebody has to cover our group from 3:30 till 5 during the week.
But that's not court time, so it doesn't matter.
No. When my partner goes home early.
It's a question. It's not a question of cover. And it's not a question of efficiency.
No.
It's a question of small-mindedness.
Yeah, luckily he's going to look at all my flexi sheets.
Mm.
The one that's been really bad is the one that I'm still doing. So he can't see that.
Right. Yeah.
I looked at the other day and I was thinking, oh God, I was late a couple of days last week, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And I was thinking, and then there was the car breakdown and all this. And that's all on the sheet I'm doing now.
Mm.
So you won't see that one.
No. Mm.
But, no, it's, he's a worm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all there is to it. He's a complete natural worm.
Mm.
Nobody likes him.